In Little Rock, Arkansas, the U.S. Army's 35th Division holds a reunion. Its most famous member, once commander of Battery D, Captain Harry Truman, marches with his World War I buddies. It's the highlight of his two-day stay in Little Rock, and the President of the United States enjoys every minute.
This is Ozarks at Large, and if you've been listening for the past several Mondays and you hear that music and that kind of announcer, you know, oh, it's time to go into the archives of the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. We're going to do that. We're going to do that as we always do with Randy Dixon. Randy, welcome back.
Thank you. How are you, Kyle?
Doing okay. You know, 2020 continues, but these segments remind us of other years, and that can be a nice way to spend 15
to 20
minutes.
And usually
better
time.
Yes, yes. What did we begin with there?
Well, that was actually a newsreel that KATV found and transferred film from 1949. Mm. And it was the dedication of War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock. It was June 11th, 49. And I guess I need to say that this week we're going to be going back and looking at presidential visits to Arkansas over the years and some of the ones that I've found in the archive. But this one is when President Truman came, and he actually came for a military reunion, as they mentioned there in the newsreel.
His World War One buddies. Wow.
Yes. And while he was here, he decided that he would go ahead, and you'll see in a lot of these upcoming clips, the presidents or presidential candidates did a lot of dedications when they were in office. But he there was a big parade in downtown Little Rock. Sid McMath, who was governor at the time, marched with the president and his military buddies for his reunion. But then he went to War Memorial Stadium for the dedication, and it was not as expected. Instead of a brief dedicatory speech, he spoke quite at length on foreign affairs.
At the dedication of Little Rock's War Memorial Stadium, Mr. Truman speaks to the nation, warning that false economy will weaken our peace effort. He says,
"We have had to work for peace in the face of troubled conditions and against communist pressures. But because we have been united in our determination to use our strength and our substance, we have already turned the tide in favor of freedom and peace. But the goal we seek is a great one, and that goal is worth the price. Never has a nation had the opportunity, which we have today, to do so much for the peace and prosperity of mankind. Never has a nation had a better chance of reaching this high goal. We must not falter now."
It's Harry Truman speaking in Little Rock at the dedication of War Memorial Stadium. It will surprise no one that War Memorial Stadium is more than 60 years old now. That was in 1949.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there wasn't that big of a crowd there because, you know, June in Arkansas, it's pretty warm. And most of the people had wanted to go to the parade, so they were downtown for the parade and just thought they'd take a pass on the War Memorial dedication. Because it had actually, to be quite technical, it had been dedicated in 1948, September before, and Footsie Britt, who was lieutenant governor, was a former Razorback, and he dedicated it, but
well,
I thought they would have the president do something.
If you can get the president of the United States to come a year later to dedicate something, you probably do that.
Speaking of dedication.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good one. Greer's Ferry Dam, which was another large move to get a president to come to a rural area for the dedication of a dam. But Kennedy, you know, spoke about the importance of this project and others, you know, that JFK thought were investment in the nation's future.
And therefore, I take pride in coming here today. I know that 10 years from now, if we come back again, flying as we did over the land, that we will see an even richer state. And I think you can take pride and satisfaction in what you've done. I appreciate the fact that we've had this opportunity to join together in dedicating this project and committing it to the service of the people of Arkansas and to the service of the people of the United States. This project, others like it, I think must be developed in this decade so that the United States will continue to be the most beautiful and best country in the world. Thank you.
John F. Kennedy speaking at the Greer's Ferry Dam dedication in October 1963.
Which would have been just over a month before his terrible trip to Dallas.
Right.
When he was assassinated.
Now, staying in the 1960s, the time when Richard Nixon came to Fayetteville.
Yes. And this was a kind of a huge plan set about by ABC Sports. You know the name Rune Arledge, who took over ABC Sports and later ABC News. But he wanted to celebrate the centennial of college football that year in 1969. And even before the season started, he and his analysts had determined that the game of the year would be Arkansas versus Texas. So they started negotiations with Frank Broyles, Darryl Royal, the two coaches, and got them to agree on the first Saturday in December to play the game, and they would call it the game of the century and would decide the national champion from that game, and talked President Nixon into coming up and presenting the award in the locker room of the winning team. And, of course, I think everyone who's an Arkansas fan knows that we lost by 1 point. But Nixon did go in to the Texas dressing room first, but then did go in and talk to Frank Broyles in the Arkansas dressing room after the game.
In the game to prove which was to be number one, we couldn't have had a greater game. Arkansas was magnificent throughout the game, and Texas, in order to win, had to beat a great team. On any Saturday, if we were to make a bet, I would say we wouldn't know which team to choose, whether it would be Arkansas or Texas. And I also want you to know this. I think you can be awfully proud of the way your fans are with you. I've never seen stands so full of life. The whole state was behind you. There was a spirit there about it, Coach, and that means that your team has done something that's really great for this state.
All right, so as we know, President Nixon did not finish out his second term. He was replaced by Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford appeared in Arkansas during his presidency, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and it was in Northwest Arkansas. He came to Fort Smith for, again, a dedication, and he came with the First Lady, and they attended the dedication of St. Edward Mercy Medical Center, and that was in August of 75.
This hospital's beginnings in 1905. To today has translated these words into community outreach. For instance, the sponsorship of a hospital by the hospital of a Vietnamese family of seven and the employment of two refugees point up very dramatically that this facility is more than just a fine place to practice medicine. It's a center which cares.
And because Gerald Ford was president a small amount of time, his voice isn't perhaps as instantly recognizable as John Kennedy with that Boston accent or Richard Nixon with his distinctive way of speaking or some of the other presidents we're going to hear in a minute. But interesting to hear President Ford's voice.
Yes. And, you know, this was at the time when the Vietnamese refugees were at Fort Chaffee. And so after that dedication ceremony, he went with then-Governor David Pryor and Senator John McClellan and Congressman Hammersmith, and they went and toured the refugee camp there at Chaffee.
All right. Gerald Ford seeks a full term, loses that to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter then, in 1980, finds himself behind in the polls to then-candidate Ronald Reagan. So Jimmy Carter holds a rally on the Arkansas-Texas line in late October 1980. What more can you tell us about this?
Well, it huge turnout. He did it right there where, Arkansas and Texas meet. And he held it just a couple of weeks before the election. It was late October of 1980.
I stand here needing your help. The issues are clearly drawn. A great deal is at stake in your life, in the lives of those who live in the same home with you, and those whom you love and who look to you for leadership. We've only got 10 days to go. It's going to be a close race in Louisiana. It's going to be a close race in Texas. It's going to be a close race in Arkansas. And we are behind right now, I would guess, in Oklahoma. And what you do the next 10 days will make a decision about what kind of nation we'll have in the years ahead. Will we preserve the tradition of a Democratic Party? Will we have commitments made to a better life for working people of this land? Will we have older people having security in their declining years, give them a full, fruitful life to honor them for what they've given this country? Will we have a better education for our children, better housing for our families, better jobs, better Social Security, better minimum wage? Will we have a strong defense? Will it be used for peace? These are the kinds of issues that face you, and the judgment is in your hands.
And guess what? Following him in Texarkana was the man who would take his job.
8 days later, California Governor Ronald Reagan sets up at the Texarkana airport and holds a similar rally. And this was just days before the election.
Only those who have forgotten what freedom can do and who've lost hope fear the future. For the rest of us, the future is something that we'll seize with both hands. We've always lived in the future, knowing that tomorrow will be better than yesterday, better than the days that have gone by. And if we all feel that way, the rest of the world is once again going to look upon us in awe, astonished by the miracles of education and freedom, amazed by our rebirth of confidence and hope and progress. And when that happens, we'll say to the world, well, what did you expect? After all, we're Americans.
Comparing those last two clips we heard, Randy, maybe I'm projecting here, but it sounds to me one person has been in the White House taking a beating from the national press, behind in the polls with a slumping economy, and another one is, like, ready to take over. I mean, the energy level in Ronald Reagan's voice seems to be higher than what we heard from President Carter.
Well, I think there was a reason he was known as the great communicator.
Right, right.
He was very positive, very good, and it worked. At one point during his speech, his microphone went out, and they had to get a bullhorn and hold a bullhorn up for him to speak into. Fortunately, they got the sound system working, but that was one little snafu that happened there at Reagan's rally.
Well, and then President Reagan had that reputation, especially as he's campaigning for that first term, of being unflappable, right? I mean, I'm sure he
exactly.
Laughed it off with some sort of quip and kept going.
Oh, he didn't miss a beat. No. And by the way, both of those were carried live by KATV Channel 7, which was, back in 1980, quite a feat, because that was pre-satellite truck days.
So what'd you do?
Commonly used. We set up a series of microwave receivers and transmitters. We called them HOPs. But about every 50 to 100 miles, we would find a tower in a town, whether it was a radio tower or a water tower, and our engineers would climb to the top and put first a receiver and then a transmitter, and we hopped it several times from Texarkana all the way up to Little Rock.
All right, back to the presidents. The first President Bush came to Northwest Arkansas, I'd say not that long ago. I guess it depends on your age, but 1992 doesn't seem that long ago.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, this was shortly before he was voted out of office.
Right.
It was in March of 92, and Sam Walton was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Bush. And usually, you know, there's a ceremony in Washington at the White House, and I think Sam's health was failing at this point, and he and President Bush were old friends, good friends, and he made a special trip down here to Northwest Arkansas to award him the medal.
His nation honors him today as the outstanding example of American initiative and achievement. And at the same time, we take note that as he became more and more successful, he never turned his back on his roots. His success never altered his lifestyle, a lifestyle that kept him close to his family, his friends, and his community. But I think it's important that all Americans understand that some things are going very, very well in the United States of America. And one of those things is Walmart. And who would have thought that when Sam Walton bought that first Ben Franklin store, that his little venture would grow into a top-rated stock on Wall Street, backing up $44 billion in sales last year.
Now, the man who took his job didn't have to go...
Yeah, I had to end on this one, well, because of who he is and our connection to him. And the rest of our video that would have a Bush, another Bush, and an Obama here in Arkansas are being digitized now. So maybe we can update this in the next year or so and have some more current presidents. But I wanted to end with President Clinton on his acceptance speech November 3rd, 1992 at the Old State House in Little Rock, where he gave some special recognition to the people of, and his friends in Arkansas.
I want to thank the people of this wonderful small state. Time after time, when this campaign was about to be counted out, the Arkansas travelers exploded out of this state around the country to tell people the truth about what we had done here together, how we had pulled together, what we believed in, and what we could do as a nation.
Now, these weren't all the presidential visits. As you mentioned, the second President Bush came here. I remember he was in Van Buren, and I covered when he was here to promote No Child Left Behind. And then, of course, before video archives existed, presidents visited. I know that Franklin Delano Roosevelt visited in central Arkansas during his presidency, and Fort Smith had some presidential visits long before we thought about videotape.
Yes. Well, and this really goes back, but President Grant stayed at the Capitol Hotel in Little Rock, and it said he rode his horse into the lobby, and the elevator was big enough that he could get his horse in there.
He could get or did get him?
Did.
Wait, the legend is that
and the elevator is, if you go to the Capitol Hotel today, you could fit a horse in that elevator. It's so big.
Okay, I get
that's the story.
No, I get that you could, that the elevator's big enough that he could, but are you telling me the legend is he did take his horse to the room?
Yes.
All right. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. He joins us most Mondays to talk about Arkansas history and let us hear through archives from the Pryor Center some of that Arkansas history. Randy, thank you very much.
Thank you.